Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Sharp James as a hero, the hero who flew on city taxpayer money to Pompano Beach, Florida, to shop for a Rolls Royce for himself. Maybe those people from the city of Newark you're talking to and I have a different definition of the term hero.
U.S. Attorney Christopher Christie speaking yesterday as he announced the indictment of former Newark mayor and current state senator Sharp James. A multi-agency investigation, that's the FBI, the U.S. Attorney's Office, and the state attorney general, yielded a number of charges, including that James used city credit cards for his own personal expenses and committed mail and wire fraud, as well as conspiracy. It's a long list, and according to the U.S. Attorney, it has hampered Newark's ability to recover from years of population decline and economic decay. Again, Chris Christie.
When people, developers, believe it's a rigged game down here, that you can't develop in Newark unless you're a friend or companion of the mayor, that may be also one of the reasons why you're not seeing more redevelopment here in this city.
And, of course, the incident that is widely seen to have sparked Newark's decline are the riots of 1967, hardly the only factor, really, in a full reading of history. But yesterday marked the 40th anniversary of those riots. How ironic, and was it bad judgment, perhaps, that the indictment of Sharp James was announced on that day? Here to talk about all of this is WNYC's Bob Henley. Bob, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Anything to add about the details of the charges against Sharp James?
No, I suppose that my colleague Tom Moran from the Star-Ledger has a really good point today, that one of the cards that Sharp used, allegedly traveling the world, was a Newark Police Department credit card, and this was going on at the same time as he was traveling to Rio, that officers in the department had to reach into their own pocket to pay for their bulletproof vests.
Nice. Apparently, when he was brought into the courtroom, his wrists were handcuffed and his ankles were shackled. What an entrance. And frankly, it seems to me kind of extreme when dealing with a former mayor and current state senator. It's not like he was going to run away.
Well, especially since it was very choreographed in that he had surrendered prior to that. They were working everything out. In fact, at one point they disclosed that he had a firearm at home in a safe that hadn't been opened, and they wanted to make sure that that was cleared. Was there a theatrical optics? Probably.
And I wonder if it's theatrical optics that might backfire. Sharp James is still a symbol to a lot of people in Newark, a hero to a lot of people in Newark. It's a predominantly African-American city. And, you know, here is the white man putting their ex-mayor and current state senator in shackles. Whether or not he did it, I don't know that it's good politics.
Well, I think that I had the opportunity to sit in the first row with Chris Christie yesterday when Sharp was brought in. And one of the things that I asked him that point blank, and he said, listen, Bob, the grand jury meets on Thursday. That's what they do. I can't get involved with timing this thing. And he has a fair point.
Is it true? I mean, as for the timing, right, doing it on that particular day when the city was very involved with commemorating the 40th anniversary of the riots or disturbances or rebellion, depending on your point of view, and, you know, and all the complexities of that. And here they walk out Sharp James in handcuffs on that day. Chris Christie really had no control over that.
Well, I guess, listen, I've said this before. I'm not a lawyer and I don't play one on the radio. He insists that this was when the grand jury returned it and that he, as a matter of law, had to follow through. Otherwise, he would be putting his thumb on the scale of justice.
Now, we'll open up the phones for just a few minutes. Your reactions, if you live in Newark, to the indictment of Sharp James, and if you do live in Newark and took part in any of the remembrances or seminars or anything yesterday, you can give us like a 30-second review of that.
Brian, could I just...
40th anniversary. But real quick, okay, because we only have a few minutes for this, 212-433-WNYC. What do you think, if you live in Newark, about the indictment of Sharp James, 212-433-9692 with WNYC's Bob Henley? Bob?
Yeah, I wanted to say that the juxtaposition of this, though, in terms of what I heard on the street from people, and we're kind of, you know, we'll talk about this later, but the fact is that there's a strong feeling in Newark that, you know, 26 people died 40 years ago. in what is now believed by historians and people that take a close look at it, at, you know, by law enforcement and National Guard hands, either friendly fire or whatever. And there's a certain sense that that has not been redressed, as, for instance, it would be, say, if it was a Klan shooting in the South. Well, you know, we still roll those cases out. But there's this feeling on the street in Newark that the U.S. attorney keeps track of Sharp James' spending and the things he did, like, allegedly, like flip land and the more egregious things where he benefited by selling off city land to his cronies. But there is no accounting for actual homicides. That's too heavy a lift for the United States government.
And you've got some audio from some of these events yesterday. We will get to one in a few minutes where the former governor and prosecutor at the time, Brendan Byrne, admits that police should have been indicted when he was in charge of indicting them and didn't. But let's go through some of this. Which one do we have? We have Brendan Byrne. Okay, we can listen to that right now. In 1967, the year of the riots, Brendan Byrne was the Essex County prosecutor. This was, of course, before he became governor of New Jersey. And here he is speaking yesterday at the Newark Museum.
I think that case should have resulted in an indictment, even though we would have lost. And the reason I think that is that the public was entitled to know what the problems were. And the problems were, you're not going to get you indict four police officers, we're going to get a witness.
That's an amazing thing to hear Brendan Byrne say. I don't know if he said it before. What was the specific case that he was referring to?
This is the case of Jimmy Rutledge, who was 19 years old, who was alleged to have been in a liquor store and was supposedly looting. The situation was that four police officers, two state troopers, two Newark cops came upon him and, in a fuselage of gunfire, chopped his body up multiple times. The cops left the scene. They didn't hang around. There was really no solid forensics done. It was a mess. I mean, it's something when you read it. And you have to understand, Brian, I came to this story back in the 1980s researching racial profiling. I found the first and only black state trooper in Newark at the time, Paul McLemore. He's now a judge. And he said to me, listen, fella, I'm not even going to talk to you until you read something called the Lilly Report, the Hughes Report, it's now called. And that was something Governor Hughes put together where they tried to look at this, but it didn't have the weight of a criminal inquiry. And they, even back then in 68, said that the so-called, remember, this is what they said at the time, Negro sniping. That's what they laid the body toll on, but they never found any so-called Negro snipers, kind of like weapons of mass destruction today.
Tina in Newark, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tina.
Yes, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Yes, I was a part of that riot during that time, and there's a lot of stuff that's been put out there that is actually lies. I think it was a terrible disgrace to bring that man in yesterday in shackles like that, number one. Number two, much of what's going on with Sharp James is also other people involved with him. If you know what I'm saying. That was a whole lot more than just Sharp James. There's corruption there with the whites that were there and part of that government and such as and many of those people live in the North Newark section of Newark right now as I speak.
So are you saying that you support the indictment of Sharp James but that other people should be going down with him?
Right. He's not in there by himself. Yeah. Heck.
Tina, thank you very much. Bob, what about that?
Yeah, the point's very well taken. As a matter of fact, I mean, the writing and the indictment is very good. The investigation seems to be very solid. One of the most significant things, and it wasn't mentioned in the papers because I guess, whatever, we're just lazy, but one of the things that's amazing is that at one point as a state senator, and that's a dual office holding thing we're so proud of in New Jersey, he was able as a state senator, and this was done, it's a matter of public record, to make it so that he could make a state law that he had more power as a mayor to flip city property as he desired. And that was signed off on by the governor. It was signed off on the Democratic majority. I mean, one of the things you have to understand is what happened in Newark in those last 40 years has to do with Democratic plantation politics. Let's just be honest about it, okay? I mean, the fact is that as long as Sharp James delivered the votes, he could do whatever he wanted. I mean, nobody wants to say that, Brian, but that's the way it works. That's real politics.
Hubert in Newark, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Hubert.
Yes, good morning. I'm really upset to see the attorney in New Jersey treat Mr. Sharp James the way they treated him yesterday. It is really upsetting, and I don't see why they have to do that to him. Most of those guys, did worse thing than Sharp Jim did. But at the time, during the time he was the mayor of Newark, he had done a really good job. He cleaned up the city in many ways. He had done bad things. He should pay for it. But he should not have been treated the way he was treated yesterday.
Hubert, thank you. And Anchor in Newark, you're on WNYC. Good morning.
Hi. It takes a lot to kill a city, and somehow Newark survives. But I want to echo what some of the other people have been saying, that white developers that benefited from these land deals, mainly in the Ironbound, are they going to be brought in with this too? I think Sharp is to blame, but people got sweetheart deals like crazy, and these people are still prosperous and rich, and it seems like they should be able to be tied into this as well. A lot of corruption with this Democratic machine.
Anchor, thank you. And Bob, how specifically are anybody addressing this who were involved in the investigation, Chris Christie or people at state level?
Well, first of all, it's a large cast in this case alone. There are at least, I think, several female traveling companions who I get the sense are probably cooperating, who, as according to the indictment, got some kind of job with Sharp, so had some kind of ongoing relationship. So it's quite a complicated character now. But, I mean, this really goes to the heart of the apathy and neglect that Newark politically has suffered for decades. There has certainly been a consistent drumbeat of effort of recovery. I mean, you had Professor Clement Price on yesterday. You have a new mayor in Cory Booker. You have community activists that have never given up, that keep it going on, that keep it moving forward. So we have to be fair that life has gone on in advance there, but there's tremendous problems that haven't been dealt with because people were making money to keep it the way it was.
You have some more tape of some of the events yesterday commemorating the 40th anniversary of the start of the riots. You have a woman named Pamela Spellman. You want to set this up for us?
Yeah, one of the things that Professor Price did with the help of a huge coalition of nonprofits in Newark was to have a very moving ceremony at the 4th Precinct up in the Heights where the riot started 4 years ago, or civil disturbance. That's another thing. The words are very important here 40 years later. And Eloise Spellman was the mother of 11 children who was simply taking care of her kids, living in her public housing project. And her daughter, Pamela, just talks about what happened.
This is a picture of my mom. There's not a day that goes by that I don't think of my mom. How I wish she was here. I was only 9 years old when my mom was murdered. How somebody can purposely take the joy from me and my family, and no one pays the consequences for it. It's hard. It's hard for me to swallow. It's hard for me to accept.
That's a wrenching clip, Bob.
And there was just one testimony like that after another. And so, I mean, I think that there's unfinished business for the state of New Jersey here.
And one of the people who recognize that there is unfinished business still is the current mayor, Cory Booker. Let's listen to something that he said yesterday.
So we have a lot of people, as you heard today, that were just innocent folks in their homes that had sprays of bullets, and no one was ever indicted. There was barely been enough of an investigation. So I do believe in order to heal, you have to have some kind of truth-telling.
And, Bob, did I hear correctly that he's called for some kind of Newark Truth and Reconciliation Commission?
Right. The setup question I asked him, he said he doesn't know what form it should take, but it has to be official and it has to stick. Because one of the things that happened is historically the state police have never recognized. I mean, there's actually this Hughes report has very solid documentation that at one point in the riot or civil disturbance or social chaos, if you will, one of the things that people who there were a lot of black indigenous businesses in Newark, and they would put Soul Brother on the storefront to spare themselves from the wrath of their neighbors. And the state police, it's very cynically, during a press conference called by Governor Hughes, methodically went and destroyed every black business. No one's ever refuted it. It was done, and there was never any satisfaction of it. So I find it stunning, for instance, the legislature wants to get around to let's have an apology for slavery. They don't have to go back that far, Brian. Mm.
Unfinished business. One other thing before you go. This indictment was brought by the U.S. attorney for New Jersey, Chris Christie. Now, there's this U.S. attorney scandal going on in D.C. where some U.S. attorneys got fired a couple of years ago, allegedly for not being willing to go after Democratic Party politicians. Chris Christie did not get fired, and he went after open investigation into Senator Menendez when he was up for reelection, and now this with Sharp James. Is it going too far to wonder whether there's a political agenda?
Well, actually, his journalistic record, in the Washington Post, it was reported that he was on the secondary list of being fired. He has managed to position himself rhetorically with being very critical of those firings. So I don't think in that case it's going to stick. I mean, you know, Brian, this the attempt to try to get Sharp James to be accountable for what he was doing, the way he was conducting business, goes back to the Clinton administration and Faith Hochberg. And they were kind of like, you know, Elmer Fudd. They just couldn't get it together. And so, I mean, think what critics would say of James is that he just went over the top in the last few years, particularly flipping the land, because that was a matter of public record. He was doing it in broad daylight to the point that Cory Booker, who wasn't even had no standing, was able to go into court and get a judge to stop it. Right. It was really that overindulgence, I think.
Fair enough. WNYC's Bob Henley, thanks so much.
Thanks.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, it's not just Friday, it's follow-up Friday. We'll follow up on campaign donations and congestion pricing, Barry Bonds and race, and the self-help books that have helped you. Stay with us.